This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump hates California. Not only did the nation's most populous state hand over millions more votes to his rival Hillary Clinton in the general election, but it has mobilized some of the biggest marches and demonstrations against the new president and pushed the already relatively liberal state Democratic Party further to the left. There's even a movement afoot to break off from the federal government entirely and make California its own country. Governor Jerry Brown has made strong statements vowing to remain firm in California's commitment to climate justice and immigrant rights, both of which Trump has taken aim at. In a recent interview, Trump went as far as saying, "If we have to, we'll defund the state. We give tremendous amounts of money to California. California, in many ways, is out of control, as you know." My guest is Brian Lubitz. He is a political consultant and the editor of Calitics.com. Welcome to the program, Brian.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, there is in many ways a case to make that California represents this sort of state opposition to Donald Trump. I mean, in so many ways, it has a lot of power. It's also geographically furthest away from where Trump is physically located. Do you feel that that in many ways, the Washington, D.C., California battle is representative of the political polarization we're seeing around the country?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at, you know, as you mentioned, California went strongly for Hillary Clinton, and the fact is that California was the margin that gave Hillary Clinton the popular vote total. So, you know, and he spent what endless amount of time on Twitter attacking California for, you know, fake voters or illegal voters or something. But California has both the wherewithal in terms of resources here in the state and the ability to be that loyal opposition that America sorely needs right now.
So let's cut right to this question of the federal government defunding California. Trump likes to think he has financial leverage over every state in the nation, but California may be the one state that he actually doesn't have financial leverage over, right? I mean, I've heard it being said that California pays more in taxes to the federal government than it receives. Is that indeed true?
Right. And if you look at, you know, I think there's 13 or 14 states that actually are net contributors to the federal government, and California is one of those. And you know, if you look at those, most of those are also quote unquote blue states. And California, you know, on net does give money, but if you look at, you know, what are the federal money actually comes to California, most of it is really non-discretionary for the federal government. It's already written into law, it's already been appropriated by the Congress. You know, much of it is in terms of, you know, federal spending, which is directly to citizens of California. And, you know, Trump likes to think that he's the CEO of America, but in fact, that is not the case. America is still a system of governance that has a system of checks and balances, and he is not a dictator yet. Hopefully, never. And
so he seems to clearly not understand how the government works. And so this threat to single-handedly defund California sounds like an empty one. However, of course, his party controls both houses of Congress. He may not control the judiciary, although he thinks he might like to. If you look at the GOP as a whole, in terms of setting policy, passing legislation, he has a lot of power to do that. The executive branch and Congress are Republican right now.
That is true. And certainly they have a lot of power to, in the future, for the budget to affect some of that. But, you know, a lot of it is, again, it's hard to discriminate between states in terms of funding for individuals, for, you know, social services programs. Those are very difficult to discriminate between states legally. Where he can impact changes are block grants with respect to he can cancel National Institutes for the Arts, for health programs, for individual block grants.
But those would be nationwide cuts, right? Not just to California?
Well, he could. So there's, like, for example, the Sacramento Symphony gets $15,000 from for arts programs. So he could work on pressuring them to block that specific
grant. Well, I mean, that's a paltry amount. He probably spent more on his drapes for the White House than that.
Right. And you know, the other areas where he could affect are primarily he could block law enforcement grants. So a lot of the discretionary funding is through for to provide new police officers. So, I mean, if his goal is to block public safety in order to improve public safety, then maybe he can do that.
So the issue of immigration is one of the biggest ones where California has butted heads with the federal government under Trump, in particular the idea of the state as a sanctuary state. Already there are many big cities in the state that have declared themselves sanctuary cities, meaning in those cities, the police departments of those cities would not or have decided not to cooperate with immigration enforcement so that undocumented immigrants and others have greater public safety. So is this a flashpoint, a really important flashpoint? I know that Trump has made a lot of one particular incident in the Bay Area where a young white woman was allegedly killed by an undocumented immigrant. And so he sort of wants to paint this as a state that's out of control where, you know, undocumented immigrants sort of run roughshod and take everything that the government offers them and give back nothing in return. I mean, he has this, seems to have this fantasy of what California is.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, obviously that was a tragic incident. But with respect to sanctuary city, if you look at crime rates of the history of sanctuary cities, in fact, it does not increase crime. And in many cases, crime rates have gone down. With respect to San Francisco and Los Angeles, the, you know, the obvious cities, both are sanctuary cities. With the large minority population, if you do not have sanctuary city policy and you have immigrants who are scared of reporting crimes, you have a built-in vulnerable population that is subject to the whims of criminals who cannot prosecute crimes because they're worried that the, you know, victims are worried that they will be subject to immigration enforcement when they come forward to the police. And the fact is that sanctuary cities are not breeding grounds of crime. They are, in fact, responsible cities looking out for their own citizens.
Now, the newly elected Senator Kamala Harris has also provided to be a thorn in Trump's side. She is one of the bold progressive Democratic senators that's leading a charge against Trump. Do you think that's part of his enmity towards the state?
Well, you know, he has many enmities towards the state. And I think Senator Harris has been doing an outstanding job in representing the resistance to his whims of and his dreams of authoritarian rule. And Senator Harris has been doing a good job, as has Governor Brown. And, you know, if you look at a list of leaders throughout the state, Assembly Speaker Rendon and Senator President Pro Tem Kevin De Leon have all been spoken up forcefully to protect not only our sanctuary cities, but our immigrant populations in general.
So what about this idea of California becoming its own country? I know after the election, there was such deep and collective trauma that a lot of people, I think, you know, fantasized as a form of therapy of escaping to Canada. And some even thought that California should break away from the entire nation as its own country. And it turns out there is actually an effort to do just that. I'm not sure what the status is, but there is an effort to put on the ballot a Cal exit, like Brexit, like Britain leaving the EU. What do you know of this effort? And, well, you know, if it's even something that's popular?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Part of it is, you know, one funny side point to that is that one of the biggest supporters of that is Vladimir Putin.
Putin supports Cal exit?
He does. Well, I mean, Vladimir Putin is sort of a chaos president. He likes to see chaos in other countries to make the West look bad. So he likes this chaos that is in the United States right now with President Trump. But if you look at, you know, in terms of what actually can be done, you know, there's no real legal authority, even if it's on the ballot, it would still have to be approved by a congressional act. There's no real way to do an exit. But if you look at sort of a more progressive aspect of it, if California leaves the nation, yes, we would California would be a sort of a very progressive country, and you know, even with a large economy as well. But
it's fifth or sixth largest in the world is what I've heard.
Yeah, sixth largest in the world. If you look at where that would leave the rest of the nation, it would leave the United States a dangerous place for populations, vulnerable populations. California has been in many ways for the last, not just over the last 2 weeks, but over the last 20, 30 years, has been a source of resistance to the pressures that have been applied from, you know, ultra-conservative right-wing factions.
So basically, for the sake of our fellow Americans, our fellow non-Californian Americans, you think it's a bad idea for a Cal exit?
Right. I mean, you know, as comforting as
it would
be. I mean,
also more borders just are not always a good thing.
Right. You know, as comforting as I will admit that, you know, on November 9th, it was a very comforting idea, and it was like, you know, we don't need them, but there are reasons, and there is an important value of California standing up and fighting for what's right in the United States.
So sanctuary cities, or the state as a sanctuary state, and immigrant rights is one major issue that and reason why Trump is taking aim at California. I mean, we have some of the most progressive pro-immigrant laws in the nation, including, you know, undocumented folks being able to get driver's licenses, et cetera. But the other one is climate. Now, Jerry Brown, I know, wants to paint himself as a leader in climate justice. Some would argue that that's not true, given that he's championed fracking. In that sense, he's a lot like Obama. However, California has, despite that, been on the forefront of pro-environment laws, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's gone back since Governor Schwarzenegger, who is now, you know, in the crosshairs of the president.
He's on Brown's team now. Maybe he should change parties.
He is, you know, as the, you know, Schwarzenegger inherited the president's show, TV show, The Apprentice, and the ratings weren't sufficient for him, I suppose. You know, Trump has been fighting with Schwarzenegger. But the environmental legislation goes back to you know, the mid-2000s, where Schwarzenegger, as a Republican, was working on climate change. Unfortunately, one of the risks that California faces on that front is that the cap and trade part of our environmental legislation, much of it requires a federal waiver to allow that to happen. So, you know, in some respects, the EPA, the federal government, does have control over how much California can do. You know, we've worked with other states, we've worked with British Columbia and other countries, and to reduce our greenhouse emissions, but there is still a role to play for the federal government, and they do have some leverage.
Right. I mean, California has done a lot more than the federal government. Certainly can do much more, particularly on the issue of fracking and many other issues as well. There's fights over nuclear power plants, et cetera. Just the sheer size of the state and the commitment of the population to climate justice makes it a powerhouse on that front. The other issue is healthcare. California embraced Obamacare. California came, well before that, came close to single-payer healthcare, but was had those bills vetoed by then-Governor Schwarzenegger. And we've brought this up several times on our program. Wouldn't it be a fantastic way to piss off the federal government if California passed its own state-based single-payer healthcare? Shouldn't that be a big goal of California Democrats?
Well, you know, if you look back at that history of that bill that was vetoed, Senator Lonnie Hancock over in Berkeley, Senator Mark Leno, have all been leaders in working for those bills in a single payer. Again, the problem is that much of that money that was dedicated to that was federal money and required federal waivers. So even had Governor Schwarzenegger signed that bill, it would have required some federal investment, including through Medicaid and other forms. So there are problems in actually realizing that. The other problem is this, California has really brought itself in, wholeheartedly to Covered California, which is the state-based exchange for healthcare. And the president, the Republicans in Congress are really, trying to figure some sort of plan to replace Obamacare, and are, now saying that maybe next year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. All this gives a level of uncertainty to California consumers as to whether they should be purchasing health insurance, whether they need to purchase health insurance, whether they're required to purchase health insurance. So none of this is a net gain for the health of the state or the nation, to be honest.
And then finally, public education is another flashpoint where California and the president differ, in particular higher education, with the protests last week at the campus of UC Berkeley against Milo Yiannopoulos, Trump supporter and Breitbart columnist. Trump responded, suggesting that the university's funding should be pulled. Meanwhile, San Francisco has announced that it's going to make a community college free for all its students, which is pretty remarkable. And I'm wondering if those two things are related or just happen to be coming at the same time.
Right. Well, with respect to San Francisco, where I am based, that was a measure, part of a measure that was passed over in November as on our local ballot, where the mayor and supervisor Jane Kim worked together to actually implement that yesterday. So that was very exciting for, San Francisco. In terms of, Milo Yiannopoulos, there is, I think, in the East Bay and in many protests, you see a series of what are basically this group, the Black Bloc, who show up at events, cause trouble. These weren't UC Berkeley students. This group came into a protest to cause trouble. The Berkeley.
But they were in the minority, right? The majority of protesters were UC Berkeley students and faculty, yeah.
Right. The protesters themselves were UC Berkeley students, and they weren't causing any violence. They were protesting peaceably. And UC Berkeley, unfortunately, had to deal with the issues of this Black Bloc and did the thing which was responsible. And even the organizer of the event said that there was no option for UC Berkeley other than to cancel it because of the risk to the community for public safety. Trump's tweets notwithstanding, unfortunately, this was the best choice for the university.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Brian, for joining us today. We shall see who will win in the battle between California and Donald Trump. Is Calitics.com the best place to read your work?
Calitics.com, and then also on Facebook at facebook.com/Calitics.
We'll post links to that from our website later today. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lubitz is a political consultant and the editor of Calitics.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.